So I'm recording into the cloud. And so again, I'll just share with you that last Friday, I got bumped off of the call. So that's why I'm on twice today, because I have my phone connected and you see where it looks like it's trying to connect to audio. If I reach over here and connect it to the audio, it will actually echo. So that's why I haven't connected the audio. Sherry, yes.
When you're in a recording like this, if you go down to participants, pull that up, pull the arrow up, and you can pick whoever. Right now you're co-hosting on the other device, but you always could have somebody from outside your system be at the beginning of the session, whoever comes on first or whatever, make them the co-host, and then they will just take over in case you get locked out.
Yeah. And I hadn't done that. It was all new folks and Sally was on with me. And so I wasn't worried, but right about the time Sally had to go was when my Wi-Fi bumped me out at the same time, because Sally was my co-mod there. And so once she said she had to leave and then it bumped me out, it automatically assigned the very first, and this is for everyone that's going to do Zoom calls, it assigned the very first person that joined the meetup as the new host, which happened to be a guy named Robert, and he was a newbie. And it was so funny because later I did go and listen to the recording and I heard him say, "Where did she go? What do I do now?" And it was really kind of cute because the group hung in there for a few minutes. They're like, "Well, what do you want to talk about? I don't know. What do you want to talk about?" And I was out here going, "Let me in." Anyway, he didn't know to click the little button because I had tried to re-enter, but it again, Zoom requires that you either have a waiting room or you have a code to enter. And so I chose the waiting room because it's a lot easier when I'm hosting to just, you know, click the waiting room to let folks in. But he didn't know to do that. So I was just hanging out there in the waiting room and he didn't know to click to let me in. So anyway, that was just a little lesson learned. And they're coming again tomorrow, Spectrum is, to just find out why, because I'm sitting, for those of you that have been at my house, I'm sitting like, 10 feet from the modem and router, because it's right on top of my hutch in the kitchen, and my office is in the kitchen, and it's dropping the signal. So they're trying to figure out why. So anyway, so that's where we're at. So they've rebooted me. They gave me a new modem and a new router last week on Wednesday, which is why I thought I was totally out of the woods. And then it bumped me out again on Friday. So I'm just kind of hanging in there. So anyway, if I get bumped out and I can't get on my phone and whoever Zoom makes the host, let me back in. Because all of you here know how that works. So anyway, today we're talking about blogging and we're in the first month of January. So we're always talking about our name. And because we've all been through this and we all kind of have the name already set for our blogs, I just want to hear your story. How did you come up with your name? What was your thought process? How did you break that down? And I'll start. What I did is I looked at all my lanes and I had, of course, you know, I had the Happy House Hunters, which is long-term real estate. And then I had the ins and outs of a B&B, which is short-term real estate investing, because I had positioned myself as a passive income coach. And so from there, I went on down and people were like, okay, well, how can we make money on blogging? So we have the blogging lane. And from there, we had writing, how you can write from anywhere in the world and monetize that. And then I had some folks that said, I want to do a mastermind and I'm not ready to launch a mastermind on my own. Is there a way I can practice? And so we have the Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, which is a book written by John Maxwell. And we are using that as a practice mastermind. And then the folks in the group, each person gets a turn to do a 5-week session to actually be the moderator and facilitate that whole mastermind. And then we switch. Everybody gets a turn to do that. And so that's how to practice getting your mastermind up and going. And then finally, we went with our time to rise, which is how to create a nonprofit and how to give back because that's huge. And my word for this year, for those of you that are picking a word of the year, mine is giving. I want to give more. And then I incorporated all of that back into my website. And so folks can go through there and click on whatever they're interested in. And also part of my website is that B1G1, where every time somebody joins one of my masterminds, I give to education around the world. So then I thought, okay, what do I call a podcast or a blog post, or what is my overarching vision in all of that? So I had to ask myself, is my overarching vision passive income? Well, oftentimes when you think about what your message is basically a means to an end. It's like, if somebody wants passive income, what is it that they really want? Do they really just want passive income? I mean, is that what they really want? And so I had to really stop and ask myself, what is it that I really want? You know, if it's just more money, I mean, there's a lot of ways that you can just generate more money. Is that what I really want? Well, no, what I really wanted is I wanted to be able to do what I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it and not have to count my pennies every time I wanted to buy a pizza for the grandkids. And I don't know about you, but I've been there. You know, where, you know, money was pretty tight. And even now my finances ebb and flow. I had a big move out over Christmas at one of my units, and just give you the short version. They didn't treat the property very nice. And so I knew that, and I've known that for about a year. So it's my fault. Most of the time when we have things bad that go on, most of the time we could have avoided that by making different choices. But I'm not going to beat myself up. I know the choices I made. Every time I would be in that unit, I would think, oh, these people are not treating this unit very well, and this is going to cost me a lot when they finally move out. Well, there was never a good time to give them a 30-day notice. You know, it's like, well, and they had two babies. And so the worst part is not only do people live like that, but they put their babies down in that because it was incredibly dirty. And again, I have an obligation. This is a multi-unit. I have an obligation to the tenants in that building because I wonder if they start to get bed bugs, or they start to get roaches, or they start, you know, because it is so dirty, you know, now it's going to affect the tenants in the other units. And so I had an obligation there, but it was never a good time for me to spend the money. You see where I'm going with that? So I just kept stalling, and I kept thinking, well, they've already trash the carpet, so I'm gonna have to replace the carpet anyway. So as long as they're paying their rent, and it just kept going. I'll wait another month. I'll wait, and then another unit somewhere else would move out, and I would think, well, I don't want to have two units empty at the same time, so I'll wait because I'll get the other unit going. Then I'll give them a 30-day notice. Well, as it happened, it just kept going, and finally, Mark and I, we were off to Florida in December, and that's when we got word that this tenant was moving out. Well, you know, I didn't want to do the happy dance too loud because what I know is, even though I want to give more and I want to help, I have an obligation to the other tenants in that building. And I have an obligation to myself, you know, because I want to pride myself in having nice, clean units that people feel comfortable and safe in. And this one was starting to get past that point. So I knew this had to happen. And so finally it did. Well, now I'm in the throes of that. So my point is that even though I'm all about passive income, my income also ebbs and flows and breathes just like everyone else. We have emergencies that come up, and we get past them, and we get through them, and we move on. And so I'm spending about $7,000 to flip this unit. I've never spent that much to flip a unit between tenants, and it's taking me about 4 weeks. I never have spent that much time between flipping units, flipping between tenants. But anyway, this one needed all new carpet, all new paint. We've painted that unit 5 times in order for it to cover whatever it was they threw on the walls. We washed the walls, then we've painted the walls, and then we did the kills on the walls, and then we painted the walls again, and then you get it. So it looks like a whole different unit, and I'm sure the rest of the tenants in the building are also doing the happy dance. Nice couple, though. This couple was the sweetest couple. They were always very nice. That's okay, Debbie. They were always very nice. Anytime I ever contacted them, they were always very pleasant. They were always very appreciative. It's just their lifestyle. And I did not see that when I had accepted them at the front end. So with all of that said, I thought, is it about passive income? Is that what it's about? Well, no, for me, it wasn't. It was about having freedom. It was about having more time. It was about not having to punch a time clock. It was about, and thanks to Mark, he helped me wordsmith. We talked about wordsmithing. Thanks to Mark, he helped me wordsmith the phrase freestyle living. He is a skier. And so he talks a lot about freestyle skiing and freestyle skateboarding. And so he said, well, what about freestyle living? And I said, oh, I like that. That resonates with me. So that's where I started with coming up with my overarching vision. And so with that said, I decided to use the Freestyle Living as the name for my blog. So my blog is now Freestyle Living. And at first, and again, here's where you kind of get down into the weeds. I had looked at freestyleliving.com and it was already taken. And so we decided to go with Freestyle Living Today. We just added that one word and it was available. And so I decided to go with Freestyle Living Today. So I started, and again, you have to be able to pivot sometimes in what you're doing. So I started with Freestyle Living Today. I bought that domain along with my website and I started creating my blog. Well, what I learned rather quickly was the platform I chose to do my website, which is Vistaprint. And I wouldn't choose that today, but again, back when I had salons, all my salon website was on Vistaprint. I knew Vistaprint the best. So when I decided early on that I was going to do some coaching and some courses, I thought, I'm just going to use Vista because I understand it the best. So I did that and it's worked okay, but they don't have a good blogging plugin on Vista. And so I had already bought the freestylelivingtoday.com to go with my Vista. And then when I decided that wasn't going to work, I thought, okay. So then I went back out, and this is conversation for February. We're going to talk about platforms. I just Googled or searched for what are the top blogging platforms, and three just kept coming up to the top all the time. And HostGator was in the top three. And so I chose HostGator to be my blogging platform. Well, now Freestyle Living Today was over here in Vista. Vista owned that Freestyle Living Today. So then, and of course, you know me, I had time that day to do it. So I thought, okay, I could wait. I could get a hold of Vista. I could get them to release that. I could then get it moved over. I didn't know how. I was going to have to call HostGator and call Vista and see how to get the domain from one to the other. And then I thought, well, let me just kind of put in HostGator the options. And I put in Freestyle Living, and freestyleliving.net came up. And so I said, you know what? I don't know that people really pay that much attention to the ending of your domain names these days. I know .edu means that you're an educational type website. And I know .org means that you're usually a nonprofit type website, but I don't know that folks care too much between .com, .net, and all the other hundreds of endings on domains these days. So I chose to go with freestyleliving.net, which was my original Freestyle Living. That's what I wanted instead of Freestyle Living Today. So then I just created my whole blog under Freestyle Living. So then I started weaving, hashtagging Freestyle Living, and then Sherry is familiar with StoryBrand. And then of course, Ruth and Sherry both are familiar with BAE through Carrie. And so through all of that, I thought, okay, now I need my heading, my picture to be folks that look like they're freestyle living. And so all of you have seen my website 100 times and you see that crazy goofy picture where we're holding Martin up with the boxing gloves on and we're all laughing and having a good time. And so I decided to use that photo as my banner on my website. for freestyle living. And then on a little side note, I did contact everybody that's in the picture and ask permission to use the picture. I didn't just assume that it was okay with everyone and got permission. And so that became my heading of my website. And freestyle living becomes my overarching vision. And so now, later when I decided to create my podcast, I kept it as the Freestyle Living Podcast and the Freestyle Living blog site. And just recently I launched the Freestyle Living Tribe on Clubhouse. So that's my story. So I would love to hear someone else's story about how they finally narrowed down how they were going to come up with what their overarching vision is and how that relates to not only their business name, but their blog name. And don't think too small, because ultimately you, all of us could have a podcast and have that as your podcast name. So who wants to share? Because I know all of you kind of have a name already. Who wants to share your story? It doesn't have to be as elaborate as mine.
That's good, Kathy. I'll share.
Okay. Go ahead, Sally.
So my blog is Embrace Unexpected. And originally my blog was going to be The Mermaid's Tales. So I just talk about travel and, you know, where I'm going, where I've been, different tips and things. But I realized looking, you know, how Facebook pops up with memories. Uh-huh. I have been using that expression, embrace the unexpected, for quite some time, for 8 years or more.
Nice.
And right. And that's when I, you know, talked about naming my blog that. It was here, I think I talked about it. It was embraced. So I don't have to just stick with travel, because I feel like I've been living my whole life embracing the unexpected. So I throw out bits and pieces at times of different incidents, but of course it can apply to travel too. And that's when I thought about it first, applying to travel, because you do, more often than not, you do have to kind of embrace the unexpected to see where it takes you. And, you know, it could take you to a better place. So that's why I chose that for my blog. And by the way, my blog link is on my website now. So
nice. Very nice. So now folks can tap into your blog and because that's where folks get to know, like, and trust you. How many times do we see some products out there and we like the products well enough, but it's when we finally hear the story that really makes us feel connected to that person. And we oftentimes want to do business with people that think the way we think and feel the way we feel. And I don't know about you, but I like the heart-centered type businesses that really care. And so that's where folks get to know that, is by tapping into your blog post. You get a chance to find your voice and put yourself out there. And I know it's a decision to do that. And we've all made that decision to do that. And it will grow. It will grow. You have to just now have some consistency in doing that. So Ruth, did you want to share? How did you come up with yours?
I'm still in process, but it's pretty well there. And when I started my social media page, probably a year and a half ago now, and it's getting more consistent, but it's because we live on the lake and I take tons of pictures of the lake, I'm calling it Lake Talks with Ruth, which is a very broad thing. And I can talk about anything I want on there. But yet my sweet spot is helping people grow from the inside out so they can soar in their relationships and career. So something along that line is going to be my tagline.
I love it.
Now it says developing you from the inside out, so that you can soar in your relationships and your career, because everything I do will be around that.
And as you post, you know, no matter what your story is for the day, you can kind of point back to that. Same with Sally. So no matter what she writes about, she can point it to her travel and to her travel agency, and you can point it to your course and to your book. So I get that. And for me, freestyle living, I can always point it to my free meetups and my courses and masterminds. And so that's the key, is to be able to monetize it by pointing it back.
And by the way, Sally, I like your embracing the unexpected. I like that. And I do. You can tie that into travel, but you've got a lot of life experiences that you could pull in.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought of this now as I'm talking, that you'd have to make sure people are okay with it and not use names and specific events. But talk about how you've helped people embrace the unexpected in their travel. Because that's one of our fears.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's one of our fears with travel is will I know what to do if this happens.
Excellent idea, Ruth. Thank you.
And there's another whole avenue. And Sally, you might be able to speak to this as well. There's another whole avenue. Statistically, not in every case, but statistically, women outlive their men, statistically. And oftentimes you have gals that in their later years feel like their travel days are over because they've lost their spouse and they don't want to go alone. Yes. And that is a whole audience right there of solo travelers that you could tap into, because that is their biggest fear as a female solo traveler is, what do I do if something goes sideways? You know, how do I handle that? And so having just that support in that kind of a community would be huge. So,
you know, that's interesting, Kathy. And that I see that a lot, because a lot of my Olive Dale travelers, they're widows, usually traveling with their friends, but some travel by themselves. But I ran into something in our grief support group that surprised me. A widow, she lost her husband a couple of years ago, and it was like the football time, you know, high school football. She said, "Do you think anybody would think it was wrong of me to go to a football game by myself?" And we're all like, duh. Why would they?
Yeah.
She just had that fear of people judging her because she was going someplace by herself.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, solo travelers is a huge, huge community, and that is their biggest fear of something going sideways or being judged or being out there all alone, hanging out there on their own. And I think you can travel alone, but not be alone if you're connected, you know, to
absolutely
some sort of support. So yeah. So, and there's a lot of ways that you can travel solo and be safe. There's a lot of ways. Well, to be safe.
Yeah. The groups I do are perfect for solo travelers because you're not alone.
Right. Even though you're traveling alone, you're with the tour group. Yes.
Right.
Yes. I agree. I agree with that. Ruth, did you have a comment?
If you have not done a blog on that, Sally, yet, you do a whole blog on that because it is huge. We just saw Tom's cousin a couple of weeks ago. She lost her husband. She's about our age. She says, "We were going to go to Niagara and I won't go now."
Aww.
You know, because she's lost her mate. So I think you've got an audience there. My dad, when my mom died, he did very well traveling. He went on cruises and all over the place by himself. But he reached a stage about 5 years out that he says, "I really want somebody to go with me."
And I hate to be stereotypical, but it's still different for a man than it is for a woman, because I don't think a man like Mark will go somewhere totally by himself and he'll park down the street and walk a couple of blocks to go somewhere in a strange town. And I'm not sure I would do that if I didn't know the neighborhood. I'm not sure that I would be out there all by myself, you know. And so I there's still a difference there as much as you know woman power. I think there's still a difference there, and I think we do have to be conscientious of those things, of being out there after dark on our own. I mean, let's face it, it gets dark at 5 o'clock during the wintertime here where we are, and oftentimes Mark and I will be out doing a hike in the woods, and I'll turn to him and say, "I wouldn't do this by myself."
Right.
I might do it with another girl or with a group or whatever. You know, I don't have to have a man per se, but I don't know that I would do it totally by myself and just be out there all by myself.
Well, especially these days. Oh, I'm sorry, Ruth.
No, go ahead.
These days, especially in this day with what's going on, you know, 5 years ago, it was okay. I mean, you know, you didn't want to go by yourself, or you didn't want to, like you said, Mark parks down the road and then you walk. It was okay back then, but these days you just don't know what's going on in the surroundings around you. And yes, it sometimes makes you feel like, oh, I'm being a wimp, and you know, I'm not showing my ability to do things on my own, but yet we have to be smart about things like this.
Well, and again, I think society changes too, because when I'm dating myself, but back in high school, you know, the big taboo thing was if some of our senior boys got caught drinking, you know. But now drugs have made their way all the way down into middle school and even into some of the higher grades of elementary school. And so once that whole drug scene, which here in Central Ohio seemingly has gotten worse, and all of a sudden, see, that changes the whole trajectory of human nature out there, because now there is a certain number of folks that are just, they're looking for a target because they need the money, because they have an addiction. And any of us that have ever had addictions, even if it's to food or whatever your addiction might have been, it's pretty controlling. An addiction is a very controlling feeling. And so oftentimes those folks do things that they otherwise would not have done because of their addictions. And so I think that changes the landscape out there of just being out there by yourself, especially after dark, being a solo female. So I'll just toss that out there to Debbie's point, is that I just think society at large has changed over the years. I remember when I was, I don't know, fifth, sixth grade, my parents would send me out on my bike all day long out in the country on these country roads. No cell phone, no anything. We were just out running around on our bikes all day. And the only rule was we had to be home before dark. And if the headlights on the car started coming on, that we knew that it was time for us to be home. And I wouldn't let my fifth or sixth grader do that today. And not have a clue where they are. Just, oh, they're out on their bike. They'll be home at dark. I can't even imagine doing that today. So society has changed ever so subtly over the years. And I think it does make a difference. And so for Sally, this is a huge opportunity. And she has so many lanes that she can blog in. Yes. Because of that.
I want to say one more thing, because we've been focusing on the physical safety, mm-hmm. and that's not the biggest thing for me. And it wasn't in either of the stories that I was telling. It's the emotional part. The emotional part of not having someone to go on the trip with you. And I think this is affected by our identity. How strong am I within myself that I can reach out to other people?
Ruth, we were talking about that earlier today, about having that independence and not being totally being dependent on someone else, which your identity could be totally dependent on someone else. So yeah, I get that.
So Sally, when you do this blog, as I'm telling you how to write your blog, and you can ignore me if you want to, but I would encourage you to go into that piece of it.
Yeah.
The emotional piece, and, you know, come on these tours or these groups with the idea that you will meet somebody. No, you might not meet your next spouse, but you will meet somebody. Become ready to reach out, because you will find somebody you will connect with.
Honestly, you can interview me and put that in your blog. For my very first trip was away from home, that was more than just going to a conference. I was kind of blindly going to Columbus, Ohio. And it was the night that I met Kathy and Mark, because the next day I was going to see Carrie Oberbrunner doing his thing in the church in the morning and then coming home that night. That trip was a life changer for me because I overcame what Ruth was talking about. And my husband thought I was crazy. And my mother-in-law still to this day goes, how can you leave the house without someone?
Yeah.
And I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Yep. I think you have to do me too, Sally. You know, and I can talk about that show up, filled up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think you have to practice it though, Sherry, don't you think? Don't you think you have to maybe baby steps if somebody's not ready, you kind of have to practice that.
So, yes. Yeah. And I can share a little bit about my history because I worked in home care for 12 years and my very first week, I had to go 2 hours from home for my first client. And I was like, where am I going? What am I doing? I've never been here before. And it was freaking me out. And I can, goodness gracious, you could interview me and you could probably have 5 blogs to go with that. And we've never physically done a trip together. And honestly, a trip with a group like that may never be something that I choose to do. I've done some things like with my church in the past, and I was on a bus to and from Columbus one time over a firing year, and being on a bus freaked me out. So that's another thing. I felt very claustrophobic on the bus. So that's another story that you could put in your blog. Like I could give you a whole year's worth of travel stories that I don't want to even ever talk about on my stuff. But
well, when John died, died in November, right after Christmas that year, I drove to Florida to visit my friends by myself.
I remember.
And I took my time. I stopped in with Bill. I stopped in Savannah, going, and I stopped in Dustin. And so I drove myself. I went on a cruise by myself. I went to Jamaica by myself, and I've done other things by myself. So, but you're right, Sherry, that what we find most in the grief support group, that the couples are so interconnected that they just don't want to go. It takes a lot of effort.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't get my mother-in-law out of the house right now.
Well, I've got a funny, you know what Mark says to me all the time? Mark says, I'm going to start practicing being alone as soon as I find someone to do that with.
Oh, Mark, I can hear him say it.
Yeah. Sherry, I got a question for you.
Sure.
When you started that job and you went 2 hours away and the first day you were that way, how long did it take you to get used to it and overcome that initial fear or shock or uncomfortableness?
I don't know. I think maybe 6 months because I was going to territories that I had never been, and it took me a little while. It also was getting a phone with GPS on it. That changed the whole landscape of travel, having an ability to look up the directions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody's calling me.
Yeah. No, yeah. I agree, Sherry.
I remember 10 years ago when I was living in Charlotte, I was going to MapQuest and printing out all the sheets that I needed so I would know where I had to go.
I did that.
And MapQuest doesn't exist.
I know. Not anymore.
Yeah, I had a Rand McNally down along my driver's seat because I sold insurance for about 10 years. And I had to go out and, and take pictures of houses and measure and do all of this for the app, for the insurance, before I could submit it to the company. I had to go visit every one of these properties that I insured. And I had a Rand McNally, and more than once I was pulled over at the curb, trying to figure out where to make my turn.
I did that too, Kathy, when I was a real estate appraiser, down in Perry County.
Yes.
I still have dreams about that sometimes. There was no GPS. There was no, I was looking at a map while I was driving, trying to find
Right. Yeah. Now, I want to say this. Sometimes it's good to have something that you can fall back on, because sometimes you can't get a signal for your phone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, well, we travel with the map. We've got our Rand McNally. We've got our GPS. Yeah. We have it all.
I just threw my Rand McNally away, honestly. It was put in and like in this cabinet, and I was going through things and I'm like, I don't need this anymore. But I could tell you this. I was paper-based when I first started working the home care job, and the directions from the nurse said, go to the end of town and turn left. Okay. For somebody who's never been in the town before, I didn't know where the end of town was.
Well, okay.
Let me finish. I get to the end of town and I go around a corner, and then there is a divided highway that was another 3 miles. I ended up having to go 3 miles out of my way coming back to the last light because of the divided highway. Didn't tell me that there was this many lights in town or anything. It was crazy.
mine was, as a customer would say, will you just turn left at the Smith Farm?
Yeah, we had a lot of those too. In this rural area that I'm in, it was the fourth cow on the left.
Yeah,
I get it. Yeah. So anyway, you can see where you need to choose a name that has that broader sense to it. And then you can always narrow into your niche. And if you're always writing within your niche, which Sally's, of course, is has to do with travel, you can then always bring it back to what you're talking about. But it gives you the freedom to where you can take a story that sounds like it's outside of travel and relate it to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we want to have a little bit of a broader name on our blog post and our podcasting. So we've heard from Ruth and we've heard from Sally. Anyone else?
Debbie, I have a whole thing here that I'm ready to hit send on. But if you want to go first, I'll leave you go first.
That you're going to hit send on. What do you mean?
I have something in the chat that I'm ready to hit enter.
Oh, okay.
Then I'll go. okay, so this Zoom today has kind of stirred a few things going on here.
Good.
And one of the things is, do I want to come up with no, let me start up here. First, you talked about passive income. And for me, when you said that, it's like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Is that what I really want? Because no, it isn't. What I want is the freedom. And really, it's the same. I want the freedom. And then you talked about your freestyle living to get today. And so I wrote down my Debbie Organic Homesteading. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at that and I'm going, okay, now, do I want a website that is going to, like you have KathyBenner.com.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want something where it would have, like, I'm understanding you, that would be the umbrella for your freestyle living and then the other one, which I can't remember. So, because I want to include the farming, I want to include the fairy gardens, I want to include the writing of my book. Mm-hmm. I want to include those things. But do I want to do that just under the umbrella of the blogging site? Or do I want to have a little bit broader where, like, you tell people, how can I get a hold of you? And you tell them to go to KathyBenner.com. So mm-hmm. is that something that would make it easier for me to address the umbrella of everything. Whereas once they go there, then they can see everything else. And so, and then the other thing was, did you say Smith word or smash words?
Wordsmithing.
Well, I should have reversed it. I was trying to figure out wordsmithing for like creating, I think you were talking about, oh no, I wrote that down. It's a story brand. And so should I do that for Debbie's organic homesteading? Kind of, do I want to come up with a name that covers everything? And then my blogging would be the organic homesteading, and the other one would be Tales from a Fairy Garden. I've got a lot of things going through my head right now, and I'm kind of like, oh, I gotta reel myself back in because I don't need anything else on my plate.
Okay. Well, let me break it down for you. I'm gonna simplify all of your questions there. Let me start by saying this. I know a lot of folks that I've really felt that I've connected with. And they tell me, oh, go to my website. And I can't remember their darn website. I remember them, but I can't remember their website name. And so then I'm in Google and I'm putting in, you know, and I'll tell you the perfect one. And for those of you that know him, is Chris McClure. And I will put in Chris McClure, and for the life of me, I cannot pull up his gosh darn website. I have to actually have his website name in order to pull it up. So I say that to say this. I like to tell everyone, just use your name on your main website, because again, you're getting folks to know, like, and trust you, and they'll remember your name before they'll remember your four or five different lanes.
Okay.
So that's why I just say, go to KathyBenner.com. Go to Kathy Benner. You'll find everything I do under KathyBenner.com. And everybody that knows me, they go, yeah, I remember that Kathy Benner girl. Let me put in Kathy Benner, and boom, all of a sudden my website comes up. If they just Google my name, there it is. And so that's my first point. Now, once you have that website, now your umbrella, you have to think, what is it? If you look at your whole umbrella, and this is, and I'm just going on words that you have used that I have heard you say, I think your overarching vision or overarching mission, the umbrella, if you will, has to have something to do with legacy.
Oh.
Because then your legacy is going green, homesteading, and all those other things. So I think your overarching would be legacy building. Something, and again, don't quote me on the word building, but something to do with legacy. And that's what you want to wordsmith a little bit, is what message, what is the overall message? Because by going green and helping the planet and homesteading and all, you are helping other folks create their legacy, the kids and the grandkids. And then your book was all about legacy. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what I've heard you say from the very beginning, is that you wanted to leave a legacy. And this website and all of your products that come under that heading is going to be your legacy. So your book can go there, your homesteading can go there, your fairy gardens can go there, your going green, Melaleuca can go there, and all of that can go there on how you are creating this organic legacy. Or, you know, again, we have to wordsmith around legacy, but that's what I hear. Does anybody else have any thoughts on that?
Maybe she needs to read one of Nikki's books about legacy, and maybe that would spark some interest.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Because she's got, I think she got only two of them out. She may have more than that out. But Awakening the Living Legacy, Embracing the Loving Legacy, and then she's going to have two more. Living, Loving, Learning, and Leading. So those are her other two legacy books.
How do you spell Nikki's name?
N-I-C-C-I-E K-L-I-E-G-L. And her website is NikkiKlegels.com.
Her website is her name.
And her, I'm sorry, I got confused. That's what I'm
okay. I'm gonna hit enter. Don't get confused with this because of that. Then I'll
just I need her name again.
I understand. I'm gonna hit send and then I'll put in her name. So ignore this thing that I just sent off until my turn.
Oh wow. Wow. I can see. I get it. All right, Debbie.
That's why I wanted to have it in ahead of time.
You see Nikki Klagel's name there, Debbie?
Yes.
Okay, that's and again, if you just Google Nikki Klagel, whatever search engine you're using, her website will come up. And not only will you see all of her legacy material, you will also see her blog.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see how she blogs. That's one of hers is one of my examples. And again, I like that because I can remember Nikki. She's got of these different books, all of these different lanes. And I don't remember all of that to put that in to search for it, but I remember Nikki. And mm-hmm. so I can always find Nikki. I can never find Chris because his is not under his name.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple Sherry, of times I've read one? Have I read one?
Have either of you read any of either one of those?
Yes, I have. Yes.
I have them down on my to-do list, and I've had so much other reading that they keep getting pushed down the pile.
Kathy, which one did you read?
I read her first two, and I recommend you start with her very first one.
Which is that one?
Mm-hmm.
Is that's The Living?
Yes.
Awaking the Living Legacy?
Yes. Okay. That's kind of at the beginning. That's when you start to think about what you want your legacy to be.
Okay, thanks.
You adopt, abide.
She froze.
Adopt your life purpose, abide in healthy living, and accept abundance.
Okay, thank you.
So, sure. So Debbie, do you see where I'm coming from by totally. Picking something legacy as your umbrella? Because all of your lanes can fall under there.
Right, I agree.
And it gives you so much to blog about because everything you do in your life can become a blog post about your legacy.
Right.
Everything from kids to grandkids to homesteading to building a business to writing a book, all of that can come under your legacy.
Now you've made the statement several times that you're with Vistaprint, which I remember. Which one would you go with now instead of Vistaprint?
Again, I like to keep things super simple. So I am not a WordPress gal because I don't want to figure out all of the plugins and all of the little ways around in that particular platform. So I would probably do something like Wix or HostGator or something like that. My daughter, Jennifer, which many of you know, she has been doing some websites for folks and she loves Wix, loves it. But anything that's a plug and play like that, which is why I stayed with Vista because it was a plug and play. They have the plugins are very few and far between with Vista. So that's why they didn't have a good blogging plugin. I tried to blog on Vista and I just gave up on it and switched over to HostGator and then just linked my Vista website on when I get to the blog spot, I just link it out to HostGator. But you could even do your whole website on HostGator and just make your blog a page.
Yeah.
And just
that
use
seems like a lot more sense.
Since you're already on HostGator, you could just create your whole website on HostGator and then just that whole blog that you've created, the homesteading blog, just make it a page.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. Great ideas. Great.
Does that help give you a little bit more clarity on where you're going, on where you're headed? Yeah.
Yep. Yes. It does, really. I'm glad I kind of... said it all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I get it.
Okay, all right. Sherry, your turn.
Sherry, you're up, girl. What is all of this?
And it is 101. I gotta talk fast. Okay. So I've been contemplating doing a podcast. My blog is under my sherrydotter.com. So that really doesn't have a thing, but I've been doing a lot of looking at what I want the blog name to be, because I wanted, and Kathy and I ended up doing a one-on-one session because I've been like so overwhelmed. So what I did was page, hey, I'm thinking about doing a blog podcast in 2022. What shall I name it? And then I put it on my group, what shall I name it? And these were the responses that I got. But Kathy, you just gave me another one. And that is Dysgraphia, : the legacy.
I like that.
So I would like your opinion, and please put it in the chat so I can just save it for later because my brain is not going to be able to retain it. Which one of these makes the most sense, and what do you think is going to come in? Now, I am also thinking a lot about what Kathy said, and that writing is much more Google trend friendly. So the word writing is not here, but I've been really fighting with that in my head, going, I want that niche down. And I want part of the my mission is I want dysgraphia to be a household term. So if I wash it down with the word writing, is that going to impair the overall vision?
Now, just to give everyone a little bit of background, when Sherry and I got on a call together, I went over to Google Trends. And remember, we did this once in, you know, when we were coming up with names and titles and whatever we were blogging about. And I put in dysgraphia. What else did we put in there? We used the word
dysgraphia. We used writing. Writing the word problem. Writing disability. Written expression. We put all the combinations of the word dysgraphia, and the writing. Writing was like compared to everybody else.
The word writing came way up above any other search, and so my thought to Sherry was she should have the word writing somewhere in her title, because a lot of folks, you know, this is where it goes back to where we need to enter the conversation in our audience's minds and not make them enter the conversation in ours. And whenever people search, they were searching for the word writing. And so that's why I suggested that she at least have the word writing somewhere in her title. So you'll notice in the chat, I chose dysgraphia, the writing glitch, only because it has the word writing in the title.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my take on the ones that she has here. Now we can come up with something that's not even on her list yet, but of the ones that are on her list, I chose that one because it has the word writing in it. And that's why I chose that one. Any other thoughts? Sally says, dysgraphia dialogue, dysgraphia, what it is / isn't.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So Sherry, what are the symptoms that cause somebody to realize there might be a problem?
That they have difficulty learning how to write a letter to start.
So if I was a parent and had a child,
mm-hmm.
I would be looking at the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So how would I do that? It's not, and when I see writing, a lot of times I'm thinking writing a book, and it's not that. Mm-hmm. It's
no.
Well, it's, I'm talking about how would you search for that, Ruth? If you had a child.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
If they had if they had a problem writing.
Yeah, there's like 20 symptoms, so it's really difficult to come up with just one.
Well, Sherry, name some of the symptoms.
Hand pain, difficulty remembering how to write a letter, spelling errors. Early on, difficulty writing sentences, problems with margin awareness, not knowing your left from your right.
So you see, there's a lot of ways that parents might search for that. They could say, you know, my child has a problem knowing where the margin is. What do I do? Or my child.
And that can be part of the description. The symptoms can be in the description, but not necessarily the title. The title you want to be only a few words. Go ahead, Debbie.
Didn't you say writing came way up at the top of the list? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I put on there the writing glitch, dysgraphia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you turned it around. Said,
yeah, I just reversed it, because if they're going to put writing in as a word,
as a search, then
that would, yeah, search. That would come up quickly.
Okay.
And
so so what I'm doing right now, after I have all these, I'm going to take these 15 and I'm going to put them in my page as a poll and see what they say. But these are people that have been following me. Yeah. So it's not a cold audience. The other thing I can do is I could put it on my personal page. And there I would get some cold audience because they would follow me because I'm me, not because they're following me because I'm a dysgraphia consultant.
I have a suggestion. Once you come up with your title, come up with a tagline, make one or the other fit folks that have no clue what dysgraphia is, and then make it the opposite one, whichever way you choose, for folks that do know what it is and they're searching specifically for that.
Yes. And that's where I was thinking about putting the symptoms is you have a problem with boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. And then listing some of the primary across the different types.
So if you at least get the word writing in your tagline, I think it'll still come up in the search.
Okay.
Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah. What she's doing? So the other thing that I'm going to share here, but I'm not going to be sharing on my post on Facebook, is that John Lee and I are tentatively discussing math DYS-Connect-Ed with a capital ED as the title for the next book. So we could, the idea of writing disconnected and math disconnected could be my alternating, because I'm thinking about alternating blocks down the road.
Yeah. See, then that could be your series that together, a joint series.
Yes.
I like that.
I was just trying to write in there. You were talking about another word with dysgraphia. So if you do the writing glitch and then you want to describe it, I kind of was trying to put in meet dysgraphia, you know, dealing with dysgraphia, or, you know, something along that line to like you said, sorry, my voice is going really bad.
No, that's all right. I'm typing that.
Oh, I know what I was going to say, Sherry. Figure out your poll and put it on LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is one of the best places to put your poll. And who knows, you may find new customers or new people that are interested.
Yeah, and how did you know that LinkedIn is my target on how to get to know it? I didn't know you could put a poll on LinkedIn, though.
Do you need some information? I've done a whole year on it.
You go, girl.
So, and poll is the number one best way to get information is on LinkedIn. That's the best place. Or, I'm sorry, the number one thing to do.
And then the other thing is, you know, if I keep adding ideas, I'm going to wash out. Is that the right word? I'm going to wash out the poll if I keep adding thoughts.
Just use four key, you know, four results, just use four. If you put in too many, then you have too many confusion.
Exactly. That's why I'm thinking. Okay. Sherry, so I could do four polls of four each because I now have 16, and then take the top one from each one of those polls and then put that in a fifth poll.
Yes. That's what I was going to suggest. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
I love it.
So what software do you use to put polls up on LinkedIn?
LinkedIn gives you the ability now to make polls on there automatically.
Oh, okay.
It's automatically in the platform, Sherry.
Yes.
Got it. I didn't know.
There's a lot of things that are new on LinkedIn. Sorry.
I get it. Debbie, you're losing your voice, kiddo.
Yeah, I know. I have a doctor's appointment this afternoon.
Ah, well, we have gone over, but again, that's fine. I think we've covered a lot of territory today. I love the conversation. Does anyone have any comments that they want to make before we go today?
This has been very good for me. I got to tell you, I really got a lot from this one today. Thank you.
I love it. I love the whole mastermind concept where we all bring our superpowers to the table.
So thank you for your input today.
These have been so affirming and in a way life-changing.
Thank you, Sally. Because it does, it makes us feel, if we're not right on the path, it gives us inspiration to make small adjustments to get where we want to go. And then it also reaffirms that we all have a message that is so important to the world today. And so if any of you have second thoughts ever, like maybe I shouldn't be doing this, erase that right now. And keep
going. I was looking at my signature line on my emails and it looks nice, but nowhere. I think, what was I thinking of? I don't say anything about being certified special needs, you know, agent or certified autism travel agent. I got to add those things.
And again, that's what, if something sparks an interest in you that comes up in these conversations to help you. I know this morning with Wendy, she started talking and I grabbed a post-it, believe it or not, I grabbed a post-it note this size and I started taking notes, and I've written on the front and the back and all around of things that I want to remember to add into my business. And so, yeah, those things are very inspirational, but just know that your message is important and it's okay. Okay, you're not being graded. There's no rush to the finish line. Everybody's on their own pace in their own time, and you're exactly where you're supposed to be, and it'll turn out exactly the way it's supposed to turn out. So let me say that. All right, perfect, everyone. Hang in there. Sherry, we'll look for your poll.
Ruth raised her hand.
Oh, did you want to say something, Ruth? Nope, she was just waving.
I'm saying goodbye.
Yes.
So long.
All right, guys. See everybody later.
Bye. See you. Bye. Have a good day.